You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up tonight after 7, it's Latino USA with a look at diversity in the newsroom and the careers of Latino journalists. That's coming up tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
First, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has sparked a new controversy with his comments about Muslim Americans who spoke at the Democratic National Convention. Some pundits say this controversy could do more to damage his campaign than other controversial statements he's made in the past.
On the last night of the Democratic Convention, Kaiser and Gazella Khan talked about their son, Humayun Khan, an army captain who died in Iraq in 2004. In his speech, Khan criticized Donald Trump.
Have you ever been to Arlington Cemetery? Go look at the graves of brave patriots who died defending United States of America. You will see all faiths, genders, and ethnicities. You have sacrificed nothing and no one.
After that, Trump responded in interviews and on Twitter saying he's sacrificed for the country and that we've had problems in the U.S. with radical Islam. There's been a back and forth in the media between the Khan family and Trump over these comments.
Mike Wagner joins us now to talk about this controversy and how it could affect Trump's campaign. He's an associate professor of journalism and mass communication at UW-Madison. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, why do you think that this back and forth between Donald Trump and the Khan family has been such a charged topic since the night of that speech for so many people?
Yeah, I think there's a few reasons. I think the first is that it's pretty novel to have a presidential candidate say anything beyond really positive things about a family who's lost a soldier, an American soldier, in a war. That's just not something that you see every day, and you don't see that candidate continuing to push back as the issue kind of rolls on and on. And so that's really striking on the one hand. I think the other thing is that when Donald Trump and his surrogates have been appearing in interviews and are asked questions about Captain Khan and his parents, the response always goes to radical Islamic terror. The dead soldier, Captain Khan, was not a radical Islamic terrorist, but in fact an American soldier who died serving his country. And so it's really peculiar to see why he does that. But of course, you know, I imagine the reason Donald Trump is doing that is to try to raise anxiety in the minds of voters and to hopefully, from his point of view, turn that anxiety into support for him.
Well, if you think about the military, the men and women who serve in the military, their families, veterans, the groups that surround and support them, these people are often seen as a reliable conservative group of voters. But what is this controversy doing to that group of people right now? How is it unfolding?
Well, I don't know that we have great data on how it's affecting families of those who serve or families of the 6,000 plus soldiers who died in Iraq and Afghanistan in the last decade and a half. But I think, you know, we've seen Gold Star family groups pushing Donald Trump to apologize, which he has not done, although one of his sons, Eric, said by calling Mr. Khan a nice guy, that's the same thing as apologizing. And I think we've seen members of the military criticize Trump. We've seen people in his own party, from the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan from Wisconsin, and John McCain, a war hero who Donald Trump also insulted earlier in the campaign cycle, have spoken out against what Trump has said. And so people with military connections or military ties or military experience have been public in their rebuking of Donald Trump for saying these things. But that hasn't stopped him from moving forward in his campaign in the way that he likes to do it.
I mean, I guess the question is this any different than the sorts of comments that Trump has made in the past, directed at other politicians, say at Mitt Romney and John McCain? Is there something that makes this qualifiably different?
It's a little different in that the Khans are not in the public arena in the way that Governor Walker or Senator Rubio or Senator Cruz or, you know, Secretary Clinton are, right? These are people who say, elect me president, and they have to expect getting attacked by opponents like Donald Trump, just as they attack him. But when you have a family of a dead soldier showing up at a convention talking about their grief, their loss, and their views about that, that seems a little different. Now, on the other hand, you could say they chose to talk at the Democratic National Convention, and so they might expect some pushback, but I think it's a little surprising in normal politics to see this going on. I'm not sure it's surprising in Donald Trump politics.
I'm going to play a couple of clips right now. First, we'll hear Donald Trump speaking in an interview with George Stephanopoulos from ABC's This Week. And in this clip, Trump responds to the point that Khan made that if Donald Trump was president, he wouldn't have wanted his own son in the country.
He doesn't know that. I saw him. He was, very emotional and probably looked like a nice guy to me. His wife, if you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She probably, maybe she wasn't allowed to have anything to say. You tell me, but plenty of people have written that.
And now we'll hear a response from his wife, Ghazala Khan. And here she is in an interview with CNN.
I have all the rights as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter. I have done very well saying my mind out, but that time was different. And anybody can see that how different that time was when I was standing there in front of America. Without saying a word, I had lots of love. I touched lots of hearts.
So, Mike, let's just take that back and forth. Donald Trump saying there that Khan's wife didn't seem to have anything to say, and Ghazala Khan responding there. How did that play out?
I think it played out in a classic way that Donald Trump likes to communicate. He couches a lot of his criticisms of people he knows he shouldn't be criticizing with words like probably and maybe and you tell me, or a lot of people are saying this. He gives no evidence of anybody who's written that Mrs. Khan shouldn't have been standing there, or gave no evidence of people who didn't, he gave no evidence of people who speculated as to why she wasn't speaking. He just said a lot of people are writing that. He said he's probably a nice guy. That way, later, he can say, well, I said he was a nice guy. He said, that they probably might have done, wasn't allowed to speak, or she would probably might not have been allowed to speak, but you tell me. And he does this a lot, whether you're asking him how he's going to pay for a wall between the United States and Mexico, or how he will get Vladimir Putin to bow to his will, or how he will make America great again. And it's just his communication style, which is to speak in vague generalities and double down anytime he's criticized.
But again, did he do anything that could be perceived by people in the military and beyond the military, but being particularly egregious in not necessarily going after, but saying things that could be deemed offensive or hurtful to the Gold Star mother?
It's sure possible, and it plays into the Democrat strategy at their convention. You had lots of people, now I'm using Donald Trump style, lots of people. So the people in particular, a former press secretary for Newt Gingrich, a former press secretary for President Bush, tweeting things like, these are the kinds of things my party used to say, valuing people who served in the military, valuing patriotism, valuing the parents and families of members who served and lost their lives. And so a lot of Republicans were writing, tweeting, and reacting to the Democrats' convention saying, this sounds like what our party used to sound like. And when you have Mr. Trump then go after the family of Captain Khan in the way that he has, it's possible that it continues this narrative of, well, maybe the Republican Party isn't that party of defense that they used to be. But I think a lot of people, data seems to suggest, are separating Donald Trump's brand of Republicanism from the Republican Party itself. Whether people continue to make that distinction for the rest of the election cycle in years to come is an open question.
We're talking with Mike Wagner right now from UW-Madison about the controversy over Donald Trump's comments about the Gold Star Khan family whose son died in Iraq. And Mike, it seems as though on the one level, these comments have been controversial. This is a story that is still unfolding today. On the other hand, Trump strategists, some of them saying this is something that has worked for this candidate. This is what he does. He challenges the establishment. He pushes mm-hmm. back and he defies political correctness. And this is why people want to elect him. So, in short, is Donald Trump being the Donald Trump that appeals to the people who made him the nominee in the first place?
It sure seems that way. And he's doing what he has done at every other stage of the cycle so far, when people on both sides say that he's gone too far, as people have said in this particular case. And that is, he started a lesser controversy the next day. And so today he was at a rally and said something nice about a crying baby. Oh, I love babies. That baby must be healthy. Don't worry about it. And then a few moments later, I was just, get that baby out of here. That the mother must have thought I was serious when I wanted the baby to stay here. And now people are talking about that. That is not as serious as criticizing the parents of a dead American soldier. But that's what's dominating the headlines today. And that's Donald Trump's, you know, strategic media genius, is that he's able to stay in the headlines but change the headline almost every day.
As we heard earlier, one of Kaiser Khan's complaints about Donald Trump in this narrative was that Trump, he says, hadn't made any sacrifices. And here's a clip of that. Here's how Donald Trump responded to that point in his interview on ABC with George Stephanopoulos.
I think I made a lot of sacrifices. I work very, very hard. I've created thousands and thousands of jobs, tens of thousands of jobs, built great structures. I've had tremendous success. I think
those
I've done
are sacrifices.
Oh, sure. I think they're sacrifices.
George Stephanopoulos saying those are sacrifices, and that became another point of discussion nationally. How do you think that strain of this conversation is going?
Well, I think that it's not a good rhetorical move for Trump to say, I've built a lot of things and made a lot of money and worked very hard, and those are my sacrifices, in a conversation that started with a family saying, we sacrificed our son to the United States of America. That's a little different than getting rich and building things. And so I think he's kind of coming out on the losing end of that rhetorical back and forth.
Mike Wagner is with us right now from UW-Madison, and we're talking about the controversy over Donald Trump's comments about the Gold Star Khan family whose son died in Iraq.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been watching this? What do you think about this situation, this controversy? Do you think Trump's comments about the Khan family are different than other controversial statements he's made in the past? Did he go, do you think, too far this time? If you're a Trump supporter, do you think of him differently after hearing these comments, or do you think he's on the right track, still admire him for the way he talks about things? How will all of this affect his candidacy, if at all? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue our conversation and get to your calls in just a bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're picking up our discussion now about Donald Trump's controversial comments about the Khan family, who spoke at the Democratic National Convention about losing their Muslim American son in Iraq in 2004 as he fought for the U.S.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you think this will all affect Donald Trump's candidacy? If you're a Trump supporter, what do you think? Do you view these comments differently than other critical comments Donald Trump has made in the past? Is this one different? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go to our callers now. We've got Julie first on the line in Toma. Hi, Julie.
Hi. My question for your speaker today, I have friends who are or were members of the military, and in conversations have said that they just do not trust Hillary Clinton because of what happened with Benghazi, so they can't fathom voting for her. Do you foresee, you know, Trump's comments and attack on this Gold Star family is potentially swaying people who feel that way into becoming more Hillary supporters?
Julie, thanks for that. And Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, Julie, that's a really good question. You know, I don't know. I think, you know, on the one hand, you could say that people who don't like Hillary Clinton because of Benghazi have been able to follow the news for a long time, where that issue's been in the news a lot, and they've heard it time and time and time again over the course of years, whereas this issue has just really been in the news for the last couple of days. And so if the Clinton campaign picks up on this and continues to use it, maybe use it in advertising, if the Khan family decides that they want to stay a part of the public conversation and keep making themselves available for interviews and keep baiting Donald Trump, which virtually guarantees a response from Donald Trump, then it's possible that some families might either say, well, between Hillary and Trump on the issue of the military, they might sway back to Hillary Clinton, they might stay with Trump, or they might say, I'm just going to leave that blank or vote for a third-party candidate. It's certainly possible that it could hurt Trump in an area where Republicans are traditionally viewed more favorably by voters.
And Julie, thank you for that call. Mike, shortly after the Democratic National Convention, the Khan family appeared on Lawrence O'Donnell, I think it was, talking. This was the next phase of the story unfolding, and at one point, Kaiser Khan directed his comments directly to Paul Ryan, directly to Mitch McConnell, and they have since both responded. What do you think about that strand of it and what it might be doing? I mean, do you see strain there between Republican leadership and their support of Donald Trump?
I think we've seen that for a long time for a lot of Republicans in leadership, like Speaker Ryan and other folks. The Bush family still, you know, hasn't endorsed Trump. But people like John McCain and Paul Ryan have said things that have been really critical of Donald Trump when they distance themselves. But they still are endorsing Trump. And we saw the president make some news today when he said, you know, that these folks should be withdrawing their endorsements.
And let's take a caller now. Anne in Milwaukee is with us. Anne, hi.
Hi. Well, you just took the words right out of my mouth because that's what I was going to ask is I've noticed that McCain recently distanced himself from these comments. But, you know, words are cheap, and I'm wondering at what point Paul Ryan, Scott Walker, people in our state are going to put the needs of the country above their own political gains by remaining in office or whatever. And actually, I think they probably would get a better endorsement by coming out against Trump. But it is, so far, they have not done so, and I'm wondering at what point you think that this actually may become a viable option for Paul Ryan, Scott Walker, needless to say, John McCain.
And thanks for that. I mean, a couple of questions there. Is it an option or a realistic option for Republicans like Paul Ryan, for instance, to withdraw support from Donald Trump? And if not, is there a political price tag?
It's an option, but it's a really difficult one to follow through on. So if you're Speaker Ryan or Governor Walker endorsed Ted Cruz in the primary in Wisconsin, went to the, you know, Republican National Convention and gave, you know, an endorsement of Trump, especially as compared to Ted Cruz, a much better one than Cruz's non-endorsement. But, you know, the Wisconsin lawmakers like the governor and Speaker Ryan have not been wild about Donald Trump, but they've both endorsed Donald Trump. And now they're in this very tough position where they care about a whole host of other races, not just the presidency. They want to hold the governor's advantage across the country in number of governorships held by Republicans. They want to hold the majority in the House of Representatives. They want to hold on by their fingernails to the U.S. Senate. They're worried that a Trump candidacy could keep people home and cost them in other areas. And it's a very difficult calculation to make. What do we do at the top of the ticket when we're not wild about that person, but we need people to show up on Election Day to support the rest of the Republican slate? And they're in a really tough spot.
So how do you make that calculation? I mean, is there any sort of a breaking point or anything that you could imagine that could happen in this race that would be justifiable? And they might say, you know what, these other state races, for example, are more important than supporting the presidential nominee.
Well, I mean, over the course of the last few months, you know, Mr. Trump has insulted a prisoner of war hero who was his party's nominee for president in 2008. He's started a war of words with a family whose son died serving his country. He's kicked a baby out of his, you know, rally today. I'm not sure what it would take for people to withdraw their endorsement of Donald Trump, short of some kind of scandal that you can't change the subject from. And it's hard to imagine what that would be without wildly speculating. But I think, you know, the folks who've endorsed Donald Trump also have to worry about people who give money to the party. And they don't want Hillary Clinton to be president. Governor Walker doesn't want Hillary Clinton to be president. Speaker Ryan doesn't want Hillary Clinton to be president. And they're in a very tough position. They don't like Donald Trump, but they think that they would be able to blunt some of the problems of a Trump presidency given their positions, especially Speaker Ryan's in the House, whereas they would rather not engage in a 4 or 8 year battle with Hillary Clinton.
Mike Wagner's with us right now from UW-Madison. We're talking about the controversy over comments that Donald Trump made about a Muslim American family who spoke at the Democratic National Convention. They lost their son in Iraq. And we'll take another phone call now. Zach is with us next in Appleton. Zach, hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I guess I think the next thing that Democrats need to do is basically call it what it is. So have an advertisement saying, you know, the candidate for the Republican Party basically makes fun of veterans' parents who lost their child. And calling it what it is, I think, is going to make a huge fraction in the Republican Party because it's going to force them to answer. Do you think that that's the case?
Zach, thanks. Mike?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think that's something that I am sure the Clinton campaign and super PACs that support Democrats are talking about right now. I would imagine that they would want the Khan family's support before they made and aired such an ad, because the last thing they would want to do is to ratchet up how politicized this is and then have a family that's been advocates for Hillary Clinton turn on Hillary Clinton. And so I think it has a lot to do with what the family is willing to endure before they make any decision. But I'm sure they're talking about that in a high up Democratic circles.
Zach, thanks. And David is next in Onalaska. David, very briefly, what would you like to share?
I don't think that this is going to hurt Trump at all. I'm not a Trump supporter, and I cringe at most of the things he says, but I think most of the country is fed up with the politically correct things, and we're tired of the problems that both the parties have gotten us into at this point. You know, what we've tried in the past just hasn't worked. And
David, thank you for your comments. He doesn't think this is going to hurt Donald Trump at all, and that maybe sounds like what political correctness. People are pushing back, maybe.
Well, I think that David is onto something there, and especially because of, you know, the practicing Muslims who are the people who are at the center of this. You know, there are a lot of Trump supporters who support banning the entry of Muslims into the United States or more. And so because of who the family is and what their faith is, it's not the obvious kind of rhetorical and public opinion win that people might think it is, because of, you know, many folks' attitudes about not necessarily Captain Khan or his family, but their own thoughts about ties between various religions and various kinds of political and military activities that they worry about.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was Mike Wagner, Associate Professor of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. He joined us in studio to talk about the controversy over comments made by Donald Trump about a Muslim American Gold Star family who spoke at the Democratic National Convention. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.